Blog Talk Radio.
Hey folks, welcome aboard to another internet radio adventure, talk radio adventure with the Andy and Amanda Show. Glad to be here, glad to have you here if you're joining us around the world. Before we get into whatever we're going to get into today, and you never know, one never knows what we're going to get into, got to make this announcement. And our special guest, Kevin Michaels, who's got an amazing background in rock and roll and music, having performed with a major band, which we'll get into, and is... has personal friendships and relationships with very, very well-known, famous musicians and artists, is not going to be joining us today because he's a little under the weather. So he's not going to be able to make the show today, and we will be rescheduling his appearance on the Andy and Amanda Show for next week. So stay tuned for that. I think next Wednesday or Friday, I'm not sure which. Stay tuned, but Kevin's going to be great on the show. I know he's a great guy and just so much to talk about with his career. And look forward to having him on the show. He'll be feeling better by next week.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah. So why
hey.
Was that? Why was that? Why was I? Why was I listening to that? I'm not going to be able to be on the show.
Well, that was a gimmick.
Oh, what?
Well,
I called once and hung up.
I just started talking to you. I'm like, yo, dude, you sick?
Yeah, that's old, isn't it?
I think it must be.
It gotta be.
Yeah. I was thinking, what
you
the hell?
Who played that?
On?
You, Cornell?
Yeah, right. I must have played it at 6 o'clock.
Oh,
how
anyways,
you doing, Kevin?
I'm good. How are you, Amanda?
I am super duper. I've been excited to do this show with you today. How's you, Cornell?
Yeah, how are you, Cornell?
Oh, I'm doing awesome, guys, man. I'm doing real great, man. Great to hear from you guys. Kevin, thanks for filling in for Andy, and we truly appreciate
I'm glad
you.
I could do it.
And Amanda, thanks for coming on the show, even though the show's named after you, but it's okay.
Thanks.
But,
yeah.
So what, since it's kind of different, what topics are we going to talk about today?
Oh, man, we can come up with some good ones, I'm sure.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, yeah, I've had some actually a weird experience the other night that I wanted to share with you guys.
Go ahead,
so,
man.
Let's get a little weird. So firstly, hey to our listeners. Thank you for tuning in for another show. I'm so happy to have you here. So, yes, let's get into it. So, I was up early hours of the morning, couldn't sleep. You know, I was really struggling. I thought, I'm fed up with this. So I grabbed my phone, went and sat in the living room, plugged my earphones in so I didn't disturb my partner. Partner sang asleep. And I heard a
snoring
noise. Yeah, probably. I heard this funny noise through my headphones. And I'm like, okay. So I took my headphone, the one out, because it sounded funny in my ear. And in the corner of my eye. Yeah, it probably was, actually.
It was there. Yeah, right?
That's so good.
So I'm like thinking, what the hell's going on with my earphone? And out of the corner of my eye was this figure. And
what?
I was like, a figure.
Oh,
a figure.
Yeah, a figure of human. I could see the hair and the shape of the face. And I'm like, oh, my partner's got up or something. Yeah.
Wow.
But usually
like a shadow figure?
I don't know what it was. Like a normal human looking, you know, normal.
So you could actually see the features on it then?
Yes. It was
okay, that's not at least a dark shadow figure. That's a good one.
Well, I'm scared. I'm thinking about getting off the show.
No, don't run away.
I don't think you can travel through radio waves. You'll be all right.
Yeah, right.
It was weird. I literally saw from, I would say, just below the shoulder upwards. That's all I could see. And I was thinking, oh, you know, briefly that rational thought comes into your mind. Oh, my partner's got up. And when I spoke to my partner in the morning, I said, I was up in the middle of the night, couldn't sleep. You didn't get up, did you? No, I didn't get up. I was like, you sure you didn't get up? No, I didn't get up. I was like, okay, excellent.
Really?
Wow.
I swear, literally my face drained at that point because I was thinking, I don't know who it was.
Supernatural experience.
Yes, I mean, it, caught me off guard when it first happened. But, you know, like I said, the rational thought was, oh, it's just my partner. Didn't want to disturb them, so I just waited till the morning. And then when, you know, there was a no, it was, just, okay, well, now I don't know what to do with this.
Oh, hey. Right. That's right.
Loving it.
Good evening.
Yeah.
Loving it. Okay, so
welcome
you guys,
Twilight Zone.
Over to you.
Oh,
have you guys experienced anything weird?
I have a good one.
Oh, cool. Do share.
Remember I when I talked about going to Hawaii to meet my daughter and grandkids?
Yeah.
It was the end of January into February. Well, the night before I left, I was out with a few friends of mine. One of them was probably the biggest showrunner from television. Did shows like The Big Bang Theory and
love it.
Yeah, it's a great show.
It is.
The Kominsky Method. Two and a Half Men. So the guy's, you know, anyways, a pretty together guy. And we went out to eat after we got together just to bullshit around, and then we went out to eat afterwards. And there were only a few of us left, and we were in the parking lot and just about to leave. And I looked out towards the ocean, which is across the street from the parking lot we were at, and I saw a burning fireball.
Whoa.
Like a meteor, but it was way too low down.
Whoa.
Or, you know, it was like if a meteor entered Earth's atmosphere and was heading straight for us from way out at sea.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was like, we need to get out of here. There's like a meteor there. And my friend said, I got some bad news for you. I mean, if that's a meteor, there's nowhere we can go. Because if it strikes, it's going to destroy everything for miles around.
Yeah, right.
So we just stood there, panicked, and it got right over our heads.
What?
And stopped.
Really?
No.
And,
wow.
Yeah. I swear to God, I've shown Andy the footage. We photographed it. We have got video.
Wow.
It stopped. The fire part went away.
Yeah.
And it was these lights at the base of a cylindrical kind of shape.
Oh,
that
my
was dancing
goodness.
Like all over the sky. And it just stayed there for like a full minute. And
wow.
We would like talking because we could think they could hear us, whoever or whatever was there, because it was clearly some kind of a spaceship.
Yeah.
And I'm not anybody who knows me will tell you that knows me well will tell you I'm a naysayer. So, you know, as one of my friends said when we were talking about it, he was like, well, I'm trying to keep an open mind. But then when he found out, Kevin was there. Well, then I believe you because he doesn't believe in anything. So.
Wow.
And it stayed there for like a full minute. And then I started to try to take a picture of it again, you know, like try to get it to go in close. And my whole camera on my phone shut down and my phone shut down.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so one of the guys who was with me had a very high price camera. Because he's a cinematographer, and he ran and got it and started taking some pictures of it, and it jetted back out to sea. It went back right from where it came. It didn't stay,
go
further the other way, right? And me, like an idiot at that point, I'm kind of like, well, come back.
Yeah.
And I actually said it out loud because we saw it like when it got way out to sea, it went straight up like till you couldn't see it no more.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I'm yelling, come back. And my friend's face just was looking at me, looking back out to where it disappeared. And his face, all of a sudden, the color drained out of it. And I said, what? And he said, turn around. And I turned around and it was now even closer to us. But behind me. So it had gone up where we couldn't see it no more. flew back and came behind me.
Oh, my goodness. Kevin.
And now we got even better videos of it. And then it disappeared again. It, like, went straight up again from where it was. It just went straight up and disappeared.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And so I
You've
have
given me
never
two.
Had a close encounter before that. And,
right.
And the weird thing is when it disappeared both times, there was a smell like after a thunderstorm.
Oh, really? So the atmosphere
like
was
negative
affected.
Ions or whatever, I guess is
yeah.
what it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah, that smell was there. It just felt very strange. Anyway, I went to Hawaii the next day, and, you know, nobody had seen any of this stuff since.
Well, you've given me chills because literally...
I know, but it's weird. The day after I came back, check this out. The day after I came back, I was like just taking a walk up the end of my street, and there's a dog walk that goes off the street.
Yeah.
And you can see the beach across the street.
And
I looked out, and there was a dark cylindrical object in the sky in the over the bay. And I took a picture of it. And I got three sets of pictures of what are, you know, you'd have to call them UFOs because they're
definitely
unidentified. Now, are they aliens? I don't know. Maybe they're Russians. Maybe they're, who knows? But,
it could be anything. But the reason I'm
guessing that it's probably because they responded to my calling them back.
Well,
I'm guessing
possible.
The technology doesn't belong to anything earthbound.
Well, if I can just share a little on your experience. Literally, two
Please.
Shows ago, I was telling the boys, Andy and Cornell, that I had experience when I was about 14, 15, which is so similar to yours, sweetheart. So
really?
Similar. I'll give you a recap. So basically,
please.
It was in the summer of 95, and my father was stood out in the back garden, and he was having a cigarette, and it was the evening.
Yeah.
I came down the stairs, and, you know, it's weird to say, but I had an inclination just to go and stand out there with him. I didn't know why. I just suddenly was, you know, just something said, go and stand with your dad. So I went out in the garden, and I was like, all right, Dad, how you doing? Yeah, good. I'm smoking cigarettes. It's a beautiful evening, isn't it? I said, yeah. And then I just happened to look over to my left at the end of the garden, and there's all these houses behind and some trees and stuff. And over in the sky appeared this cylindrical object, and it was burning like fire. And I was like, oh, what's that? So my father looking. I mean, I explained to the boys that my father, you know, raised me with watching the sky, the star system, showing me satellites, planes, helicopters, you know, all those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Everything to pay attention to in the sky. So at this point, we're both like in awe of what we're seeing. And it starts to bank, like up and down. A good, I would say like a good centimeter from its current position, and just going up, down.
Did it stay still, or was it jumping around? Because Ryan
was
jumping.
It stayed still to start with, and then, like I said, it was going up and down, like it was bobbing, like on a
string.
Yeah,
like bobbing and going left to right too at the same
so,
time was what I saw.
Yeah. So this thing is there, and it's hanging in the sky for at least 5 minutes. Okay. And about a minute into it being in the sky, I called my mother and my sister out to come and see this weird object. And it was dropping things from underneath it, like small versions of itself. Like somebody was tapping the end of a cigarette and orange ash was falling from it. And I was like,
wow.
What's this? And these things would get so far down in the sky and just disappear.
Did your dad see it as well?
Sorry?
Did your dad see it as well?
Yeah, we literally the whole family saw it. So it lasted it lasted about 5 minutes. Our neighbor stuck his head out the window and he's like, all right, guys. I was like, Gary, you're not going to believe this. Come outside. So he came out and we were chatting to him over the fence and we were telling him about what we just saw. And then I kid you not, this object reappeared in exactly the same location that it vanished. Was doing the same thing again, only getting closer this time and dropping more of those things. Again, it lasted about another 5 minutes.
So that's almost like a carbon copy. I mean, it's like it came back the same way mine.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But wow. what pops this off even more is after that disappeared, about 6 weeks later, exactly the same time as it appeared the first time round, I was outside with my friends outside the house. There's about six of us outside. And I felt this nudge. Oh, go and stand at the end of your cul-de-sac and look down the end of the road. Didn't know what I was doing. Yeah. Just went and did it. So I casually walk away from my friends. They're looking at me like, where's she going? And I was looking down the road, and I could see this look like a cigar-shaped object in the very distance at the end of the street, and it was starting to come very slowly up towards my house. I'm like, what's this? Yeah. And I can only see the edge of it to start with, and I thought, oh, maybe it's a hang glider, because I couldn't see too clearly at this point. And as it got closer, I started to see the orange burning thing that I saw on the first object. And then it started to come right over my house. Yeah, it came right over the house. I screamed up to my friends, everybody look up. They were like, what? I said, just look up. So my sister was there as well, and she looked up. I said, go and get mum and dad. So she ran inside, got the family out, and we even got the neighbours out this time. So there's about 15 of us outside, all watching this object come over. And it was doing the same thing, dropping those little orange fireballs from it, which were just disappearing as it was going right over our heads. And we were just absolutely stunned. And it carried on.
That's close to the same thing that we saw. Did you notice that smell afterwards too, or no?
To be honest, no, because I think at the height it was, maybe, you know, we couldn't really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, this thing got close the last time, fairly close. But
yeah.
The other thing that's amazing. But the other thing is that when I got home that night, the first night that I saw the first thing, was having to get up early to go to the airport, to go to Hawaii the next day, so I didn't spend an inordinate amount of time.
Hmm.
But I looked online to see if anybody else had seen it. And it was fairly late. So, you know, there wasn't even a whole lot of traffic on PCH, which is, you know, unusual in and of itself.
Yeah.
But, it seemed like it's always like that. It seemed like it's always like that. They know what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they come when nobody's around. Yeah. So, I looked, and apparently, if you count for the a two-hour time difference, because it said that it, like, say it, I can't think of the exact time. Say it was midnight, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you went 2 hours later, and the only things I could come across was that there were, and they had pictures as well, and it had the exact same shape and doing the exact same thing. In a town outside of Chicago, just outside of Chicago in Illinois. So if you count it for the time difference, it was actually the same time as we were seeing what we saw.
Oh, that's
happened
pretty incredible.
In Illinois.
Wow. Okay.
I said, why were they out so heavily? And then somewhere else, I think Dirk, one of the guys that was with me, said that somebody in Montana, if you accounted for the time difference, was seeing it too. So I'm wondering why it would be so many out in so many different places at the exact same time.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard stories like that of cases in different places. Cases in different places.
Yeah,
of the same kind of object.
I like that. You're a poet. You don't know it.
Yep.
Thank you.
Right. You want to hear my story? Are you ready for this?
Yeah, you got some too?
Come on, boy.
Yes. Yes, when I was a kid, man, and when I was a kid, I was in my parents' room. They had the middle room and all that stuff. Yeah. And I fell asleep one time. So something made me wake up. I woke up, and I looked on the ceiling of my parents' house. It was something it was big eyes and was breathing fire at me. I wasn't scared. It was just kept breathing fire and breathing fire. I closed
this
my
was
eyes
something on the ground, eh?
No, it was on a ceiling. It was on a ceiling inside my parents' house.
Oh, jeez.
And I never forget this figure. It was like big eyes and breathing fire at me. It looked like it was like talking to me, something like that.
Wow.
And I was like, that. And it's like I never forget the face, because it was like an animation face, but it was like it was like breathing fire talking to me.
Whoa.
Like, so
did you actually hear anything it said, or
I never, you know what's so crazy? I wasn't even scared. And that's what got me. And I was, like, looking at it because when I was a kid, man, I used to, like, my parents used to, like, pray over me and all that stuff. Because one time I was sleeping, one time I woke up and it was, like, an 8 feet tall giant in my room. And I was like, looking at it. I was like, what the hell? And it was, and guess what, Kevin? It wasn't a Jolly Green giant either. So I was like,
well, I'm not green.
So I haven't seen a lot. And when I was living I was living in Winco, Pennsylvania. I was living in this apartment complex.
Pennsylvania is a kind of a high spot for, like, UFOs and supernatural stuff anywhere.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
kind of hot spot.
Oh, wow. Definitely. I didn't know that.
So I was
yeah,
on
certain places in England, too.
Oh, yeah.
A place beginning with an H. Something shy. Harry, I can't remember it, but there was a big UFO incident there. And
yes,
we've got there's somewhere not far from where I'm based in the UK, because I'm from Gloucestershire.
Yeah.
And when I go to the next place over in Wiltshire is a major hotspot for all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's where you hear about a lot of the crop circles. That's where Stonehenge is and Avery, Stone Circle.
Yeah, Wiltshire here is like a big street in L.A., but it is.
Right.
Wiltshire Boulevard. That's, you know, what's weird, you guys are talking about figures, and I've only experienced, to be honest, audio when it comes to spiritual or dead people.
Okay.
And it wasn't evil. My parents came out to visit me once. This is going back, you know, a couple decades ago, over a couple decades ago. And my dad died 2 days after they got out to visit me in my living room chair. And it was kind of a beautiful ending, actually. I mean, it was heartbreaking, but, he passed on I Love You and a Kiss and as my mother did in the end too. But,
So
you can't really ask for more than that one. Everybody has to go at some point, but,
I know.
Yes.
But when we sent his body home, and then we went home to New England, which is where my parents' house was. And my mother didn't want to stay in their room. And she said, I don't feel right about it. So I said, sleep in my old room, and I'll sleep in your room. And I stayed up kind of late. I was watching some stuff on TV. And I shut the TV off, and she had like two chandeliers that hung over the bed. It was a big bed.
Yeah.
And I just like leaned up and reached up and pulled the light switch, like not a string, but a little metal thing that came down that, you know, with a tag on it or something that you pulled to shut the light off. And I just snapped it off, pulled it down, light went off, put my head back on the pillow, and it wasn't 2 or 3 seconds after that. And my dad's voice, and not like any, you know, weird ghosty thing. I mean, it was just like my dad standing next to me talking.
Yeah.
Said, stay together with your mother. Watch your mother.
Oh, wow.
And I jumped up and I pulled this light switch, and, of course, he was not there. But, you know, so I went, some doctor that I went to tried to send me to a psychiatrist, think I'm nuts or something because I heard that. But
wow.
I mean, it was as clear as day, and you must have been sleeping. Well, I couldn't have gone to sleep that quickly. It's not possible. So
I
know
that
happened.
Yeah,
it definitely did. As far as seeing figures, I think the closest I've come to seeing a figure in a bedroom with me was I went to Mexico once with my son, and we just went down for the weekend, and we were staying in the hotel room, and in the middle of the night, I heard something, and I looked off to where they had a closet, but it was like an open closet. There's no door. And I looked and saw a figure there, and I kind of jumped up, and it was my son sleepwalking. He wasn't even waking up. And,
oh, what?
And he was peeing on my cowboy boots.
What?
Oh, that's the closest I come to seeing the figure.
Oh, wow. I mean, I had to
get some levity in, but that is a true story. I hate to say it.
A bit like Cornell. I mean, I grew up, you know, telling everybody, you know, my life has been like the X-Files because, you know, that orange ball is just one of many experiences that I've had, and, you know, seeing figures and stuff happen to me when I was a kid. And, you know, I kind of was always in the library researching what was happening because I was trying to work it out. Other kids would be renting out from the mobile school library all these cartoon books and interesting kids' stories. And there's me with, like, the paranormal section. Why am I seeing these things? Trying to understand, you know, the whole scientific thing behind it and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I had these conversations with usually adults. Have you experienced anything? I've seen this. I've seen this. Can you tell me about this? You know, I was always trying to understand. So, but, you know,
bizarre. It seems to attract to certain people. Like the other guy who was with me when I saw the first time, I've seen now 4 times I've seen what looks a similar object. Since I've, you know, been back from Hawaii and stuff, I've seen it 3 other times. He said that he felt, which is really weird, because this guy's more into New Age stuff than I am. You know, I'm like the furthest removed from all that stuff. But he's convinced that it has something to do with me.
Okay.
Because I keep having, you know, I'm the guy who doesn't believe in that stuff, but then I'm the guy who it keeps visiting, basically. And he says, I had the feeling even the first time when I was with you and we were seeing it, because he saw it twice, but he said, I had the feeling it was about you and it wasn't about me.
Oh, that's
and
interesting.
I said, what the hell could they want from me?
Yeah.
And then I just made a joke and said to him, like, you know, my mother used to say she thought I was an alien, but
I don't think so.
And he said, well, maybe you are. I was like, maybe you're a hybrid. And I was going, oh, yeah, right. Okay.
You know what? I can totally relate to that. You know, all fairness, and I've said this to everybody I know and who's close to me, that every time I tend to see some sort of weird object in the sky, I always get that inclination to do something, to be wherever it is I'm meant to see it. Like 3 times that I've just been sat there watching TV and I'll just suddenly jump up out of the chair, grab the dogs and take them to the back door to let them out to use the bathroom. And there it is. I'll open the door and boom, there will be this weird object. And I was telling the boys last week, I think it was, that this one incident, I opened the door, let the dogs out, and my jaw dropped. I kid you not. I saw at least 12 lights in the sky that looked like stars, and they were all trying to create the shape of the plow. And I was like, what is this? It was literally, they were all moving in formation with each other. And I was just, I called my ex at the time. I said, come and look at this. Quick. And we had our phones, but the technology back then, you couldn't pick up anything with the phone camera because it was too dark. So I was disappointed at that. But we found out later, I mean, well, while this thing was, it created its formation and then it started to separate. And there was this one object that was bigger than the rest. And the rest of these little white lights were moving one at a time in perfect line with each other into this one big object, one by one, until there was nothing left. And then this big object just turned out like a flashlight. And the next day, I spoke to my neighbor. We checked the local news. It was all over the county in Gloucestershire, in various places, of people reporting seeing 20 of them to start with. I'd only seen 12, but apparently there was 20.
That's wild.
Yeah, it was incredible.
I mean, something like that happened in Phoenix some years back. I was there, but I didn't see it because I wasn't outside when it was happening. But some of my friends that were, you know, we saw the next day came out. Oh, did you see that? It's you can look it up. It's called the Phoenix Lights. But
cool. Yeah, I'll see that.
It's so weird. All this supernatural stuff is Very bizarre.
Really?
I mean, my family is, you know, my great-grandmother. My mother used to tell a story about how my great-grandmother, you know, had a two-story house and and saw a ghost and jumped with a baby in her arms, jumped over the railing and jumped the whole floor down.
Because
the ghost was coming at her. And
oh my
God. I mean, I guess she broke her leg or something, but it's,
holy crap.
So, you know, it's weird because I mean, I always loved to hear the stories and stuff when I was young. I thought it was fun to hear that stuff, but, you know,
you want me to tell you a story?
Yeah.
Please do.
Let me tell you a story. My brother, you know, they was living on this house on 16th Street, and they say it was ghosts and all that stuff. And my parents lived in this three-story house and all that stuff. So my brother and, you know, they all went upstairs and all that stuff, and they was getting ready to go to church and all that stuff. So my brother went upstairs, and you know, the room was all messed up and everything and all this and all that. And, you know, they, my mom said, clean up your room and make up your bed, right? So my brother went downstairs, say, what you say, Mom? And he came back upstairs. He said he came upstairs and everything was made up perfect. Everything was in shape and all that stuff.
Wow. And he didn't do it.
He didn't do it. And guess what?
My
parents seen it, went upstairs and seen that. And the next week they moved out the house.
Whoa, that's creepy. You know, that that reminds me of a story my grandparents told me, because they have many experiences, bless them. They had just got married, and back then they couldn't afford to really have like a spectacular honeymoon that you would get in modern times. So they stayed in this little bed and breakfast in the middle of town, and they were both asleep, and my grandmother woke up and she saw there was this like old leather chair in the corner of the room, and it was kind of facing out into the middle of the room diagonally, and she saw this figure sat in this chair, and she's thinking it's my grandfather, not really looking next to her, and she's like, Tom, what are you doing, come back to bed. And it just, it was just sat there staring into the middle of the room. So she suddenly realized that my grandfather was led next to her. She tapped him, he sat up, and she's like, Tom, there's someone in the room with us. And he looked into the corner, and this, this figure then looked at both of them, and him and the whole chair started sliding into the wall and vanished.
Wow.
And it was almost as if that chair was a phenomenon too, like it didn't exist. Because
there's definitely something going on. I mean, there's definitely a reality factor, whether it's interdimensionary, you know, interdimensional things or whatever. It's it's bizarre. You know, it's funny that because you know, well, you guys both know, of course, that I've got records out and stuff like that, and I'm just about to put, you know, re-release on the song. But this time a worldwide release, and you know, I didn't get any TV coverage or anything last time because my retina detached, and I, you know, I was stuck basically in bed looking down for almost 4 months, and so I couldn't promote, and you know, but the money got spent, so it's you know, like, I don't think they're gonna pay for publicists this time, and so my friend says to me, you know what you ought to do, you ought to take the video, because it's some of the best video of UFOs that anybody's ever seen, and you ought to call up all those shows and tell them that you, you know, that you have that footage, and then get them to book you on the shows for that, but tell them the only way that you'll come on is if they let you promote your record.
Hey, that's not
that's
bad.
Yeah, but then all the people who listen to it are going to think I'm nuts. And they were like, well, it's a country record. And most of the people who say they see UFOs are like, well, I done seen one of them, you know.
Yeah,
it was big and round.
I think sometimes a lot of people don't like to admit or even bring into conversation that they've seen some weird things.
Too.
They've seen very close down about it.
Oh,
it's
almost... Some people, you can see the color drain out of their face when they shut up. It's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're like, oh, that's ridiculous. And then the color goes out of their face.
Yeah,
because they saw something too.
I mean, yeah,
because they scared.
it questions people's belief systems, doesn't it? And I think they were raised to have more of a closed mind. And,
and yet we believe in God.
Well, yeah, that's the biggest phenomenon there is. So it's kind of like...
I'm not saying that to be facetious, because I believe in God.
Yes, absolutely.
But if we believe in God, who's something else, like a deity that we cannot see...
Yes.
And that nobody has ever seen, at least while they're on this earth.
Hmm. Exactly.
Why can't that other stuff be real, I guess?
That's a very expansive subject, isn't it, as well? Because indications within the Bible itself that talks about the supernatural. So it's supernatural level. Does agree. It talks about mediumship, how mediumship can be dangerous communicating with those that passed over. So
I think that's true.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
I mean, I think how many people have gotten screwed over by using a Ouija board,
goodness.
In the evil spirit world.
Yes. Do you remember a guy named Aleister Crowley? He used to deal with that shit.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like the head of the First Church of Satan or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aleister Crowley. And the Beatles.
His picture is on the Beatles' the Sgt. Pepper album.
Yeah.
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 I watched a couple of his films, man, and I was like, I looked at some of his films. He was really deep into that shit, man. He was really deep into
that.
Wow.
And I think Robert Page or somebody bought his house. It was called, I forgot. What's that guy that used to play for Led Zeppelin?
Oh, Jimmy Page, okay.
Jimmy Page bought his own, said that he conjured a demon in there, and that shit's still there.
Oh, yeah, I remember reading that. He, had some books, like devil books or something that he had, and they were all, messed up with mud and stuff all over.
Yeah.
I remember
I know I think it's three people that had bad experiences using Ouija boards, and they've all said to me, please, whatever you do, don't do it, because, each one of them said that they've come away from it having something still go on with them afterwards, and really put me off. And another one wouldn't speak about the experience at all. It was that bad. I was just like, okay.
I've played with them before. I had one back in Massachusetts when I lived there.
It's quite common in the U.S., isn't it? I mean, you can go into any store and buy one. I'm like, wow.
It's like buying a game.
Yeah.
It's like buying a game.
Well, it was. It was Parker Brothers, I think, who sold it.
Wow.
Back in the day. Which is a toy company, a big toy company.
That's crazy.
Yeah, had an Erector set, a Ouija board, and Scrabble or something, It's
wow.
A friend of mine's got a Ouija board tatted on his leg.
Oh,
really?
Yes.
He doesn't get anybody tickle it then in the middle of the night.
I would be horrified to have that on my skin.
I think I would too. I'd literally just.
Yeah.
But,
we were talking, just jumping back to the God subject. When I was, at one point, I got to be honest. I mean, I've gone in and out on that my whole life. I mean, I'm born into a Catholic family and, went to catechism and was an altar boy and all that stuff. But
yeah.
At times, I've questioned, though, because it doesn't really seem logical, even though, I want to believe it. So at times I haven't, or I was doubting it. I'm not going to say I never believed it, because I think I always have somehow. But it's when I've had doubtful moments. I know one thing that happened in my life. I was 19 years old, and I was in the hospital. I was having really, really bad stomach pain. And they gave me a shot of a drug called Tolvin, which they don't use much anymore. And my mother, my cousin Missy, and my friend Bob were all in the room visiting me. And it all of a sudden I coded. I died. My heart stopped beating.
as an allergic reaction to the drug.
Oh, my goodness.
And, like, you know, I know it sounds like right off of, like, a documentary on television, except for one part, which is really weird. But anyways,
it happened.
Saw, like, I was up at the ceiling, and I was looking down, and I could see my mother and my friend and my cousin all panicking. I remember exactly what they said. I saw the people
wow.
coming in with the trash cart, with the paddles and all that stuff. And then I went into, and this is a weird place because I went into just a pitch black place. And there were like these half humanoid, half demonic looking creatures. And
really?
They were like, I was floating above them and they were grabbing up at me, but I was floating above them and I was screaming for my mother. And then I only passed through that for just seconds. And I was in this white, warm light.
Wow.
And I saw people that I knew who had passed in that light. And the weirdest thing is at the end of the, when I got near the end, I saw my friend John.
Okay.
A big, tall kid was bigger than I am, and I'm 6'6". And he was
wow.
like my best friend at the time.
Yeah.
And that was weird because John was still alive, you know.
What?
And
wow.
yeah, and then I got to the light, and when I got to the light, and this is going to say it weird because I didn't hear a voice,
okay,
but I felt a voice, if that makes any sense. I
it
felt
does.
A voice tell me to go back, and then I was back in the room, and they were taking my pulse and you know, and my blood pressure every couple of minutes, and you know, so it was a legitimate thing that happened. And I repeated everything that I heard them say in the room when I was already dead. And they said that's exactly what went on.
That's
and
interesting.
The
that's
only thing I never told anybody for years, I never told anybody about the dark place with the weird-looking creatures because I thought maybe that was demonic and I passed through hell and maybe that made me a bad guy. I don't know. But
yeah.
I didn't ever say anything about it, but I did get into the light very quickly, so obviously I'm not a bad guy. But so the weird thing is I went home about a week later. I went home, and you know, I had told my mom everything that happened, and I said the one thing I can't figure is why Johnny was why he was in the light, because he's still alive. And,
yeah.
And then after I was home for about 3 or 4 days and I was starting to, you know, feel better and get strong again and everything. And my mother said, you know, I didn't want to tell you when you were in the hospital, but John got hit by a car the night before that and he got killed.
Oh, my goodness.
And I had no idea of that except that I saw him in the light.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So that definitely, from that point on, I basically had no doubts that there was a God and a heaven and all the rest of that stuff.
I was going to say that kind of solidifies
yeah.
the experience as well with your friend.
Yeah,
and
absolutely. One thing that's the only other supernatural thing that, and I don't even know if you'd call it supernatural, but it's kind of jumping back to when I said my mother used to always say I was an alien.
Mm.
One of the reasons was because she said every time I got sick, it was something they couldn't fix,
really?
Or the doctors knew nothing about. It. Yeah. The other thing was that, and I don't know. I've talked to one other person who's had similar experiences, but and it doesn't always happen, obviously, but sometimes, and this happened throughout my life, intermittently at different times, when I would walk down the street. The street lights would go off as I passed underneath them.
Ooh, okay. You got some funky energy thing going on.
Yeah, it's happened in different places. And,
okay.
At different times of my life. And, yeah, so that was what provoked, more of that than anything, what was provoked when she said, I think you must be an alien. But... Yeah, I don't know much about. I know it's an energy thing, but I don't know much about energy stuff.
Well, I've known people to – I had this one friend who could not wear a watch at all because her energy would just send the time spiraling crazy on her. So she couldn't wear a watch. Yeah, she had that kind of that energy. And it doesn't surprise me. I mean, none of this really surprised me. I know I'm going, wow, because I love hearing about these types of things. It makes me feel sane from my experiences, right? But I do believe that we all love this.
Let me tell you something, man. I can feel spirits because I was born with a veil over my face.
My mother was.
Whoa.
You were too? My mother was too. That means the gift of prophecy.
Yeah.
You knew
that?
And I have a hole in my ear.
A hole in your ear.
I can feel spirits. I can feel, I mean, I really can feel them. I was like, last night I was in my house yesterday and I was nodding out. And something just hit the thing. My body starts shaking, and I felt it, but it stopped. But let me tell you about the experience that I had when I was living in this loft. I was in this loft. I was sleeping. I was laying there by myself, and I heard the ceiling. I heard something fall from the ceiling. It was like, boom, 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 boom. So I jumped up and see what the hell fell. Was the ceiling fell? It was nothing there.
Wow.
I felt this vibe. I looked downstairs, and it was like I was scared, kind of. I went downstairs, but when I went downstairs, I started getting very weak, very weak.
Yes.
Yes.
That's
weird, man.
I had an experience where I got weak once. We went to this place in Gloucestershire called Woodchester Mansion. Yeah. The mansion itself was built many, many years ago, but it wasn't finished because supposedly...
What was it called?
Woodchester Mansion.
Woodchester?
Yeah. And what happened was, the story behind it is, the reason the building wasn't finished is because the builders witnessed some real, like, strange paranormal things happen. It frightened them all to death, and they left the site and said they wouldn't return. So you walk around most of this mansion, and it seems completed, but there's certain rooms that don't have a roof or windows, and so it's a fascinating building. So we all went one evening, group of us, great big group of people, and we were walking around, and we were listening to the stories, and I got to the kitchen area, and it was as if somebody took my legs out from beneath me, and my stomach was sinking, and I felt sick, and I started to shake. I said, I don't like this feeling, I've got to leave this room. And the moment I left the room, I felt everything start to come back again. But the moment I went back in, I had the same feeling. And I spoke to the lady who was doing this tour, and I said, may I ask, is anything weird happened in this room? And she went on to explain, well, yeah, lots of weird things have happened in this room. I can't remember them all by detail now. But so the building was phenomenal. And so it's getting late. It was about 10 o'clock at night, and we're all in the main hall, and we're all sat around talking. And this lady said, look, if you like, if you're brave enough, she said, you can go and sit in one of the rooms at the other side of the building, just on your own, get a feel for it, see what you experience. And we're like, oh, I don't know about this. So anyway, we did it anyway. So a friend and me, a friend and I, we went and stayed in this one room and didn't really experience much, came back. And then she went off by herself to this other room. And when it was time for her to come back, she looked so pale in the face. We said, are you okay? She said, were you all just dragging your chairs around in this room? Oh, we all looked at her and we're like, no, why? She said, I kid you not, I'm sat at the end of this corridor that isn't completed. So there's no glass in the window. And there's a cold draft coming in. And it's just all bare concrete. And she said, it's like pitch black in front of me, and I hear this sound getting closer and closer, like somebody dragging something. And she said, I swear to God, I thought all of you were moving your chairs around because I could hear these weird scratches and noises. And we said, well, actually, this lady started talking. There's a lot of experience that's happened in that corridor. Somebody was murdered, and the body was dragged along that corridor, and blah, blah, blah. And then this UK paranormal group called, they did a TV show called Most Haunted. They went there, and they spent time in that corridor and had exactly the same experience. Absolutely blown away.
Wow.
Yeah. Incredible. That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I know this is... you set the pace for this, but we're turning into the Halloween show. But anyway,
Yeah, but it's great. It's a great subject, right? So, like, the only other things I've experienced in my life that kind of I would one I attribute to being supernatural. The other is just kind of scary for what will be an obvious reason. I will get to that in a minute. But I lived on Point Doom here in Malibu, and it's spelled D-U-M-E, so not Doom, D-O-O-M.
Okay.
But I lived in a manufactured home at the end of the point. It was beautiful, overlooking the ocean, and it's in Malibu. You know, you can't ask for better than that. And
yeah.
And you know, I had a poster that someone gave me from the, because I was a big Dirty Harry fan, and it was from Sudden Impact, and they had it framed,
cool.
And it was a beautiful, you know, framed piece, and I put it up everywhere I went. It was always, you know, it always got put up on the wall at, from when I first moved to LA, you know, till, well, so I couldn't find it anymore, basically. But, so I was living there and I had it up on the wall, and I had been living there for a very short time. And one of the things that was really freakish to me is that, you know, because California, the weather's amazing. Usually, and even on the hottest days, there were certain spots in the house that were freezing cold, but just spots.
Yeah,
and it always felt like someone was watching you, and I thought it was just me. And I was saying, like I could swear I looked at that poster a few times, and you know, it didn't have like. I mean, it was just Clint Eastwood's eyes. It's not like...
Yeah.
But, so it's not like one of those pictures where they have the eyes made a certain way so it looks like they're following you around.
But yeah, I get you.
That's the way it looks sometimes, though, but not all the time. And, and I you know, I didn't want to say anything because I don't want people to think I was nuts and everything, but, like, the people that I used to hang out with back then, that, you know, a couple celebrity friends of mine, and I remember... some of the guys that came over, Jan Michael Vincent, who's no longer with us now, and Nick Nolte, people like that. And
oh, cool.
And Jan, at one point, refused to come to my house anymore.
Oh, really?
I was like talking to Nick, and I was like, "Why won't Jan come to my house anymore?" And he says. He said that picture of Clint Eastwood that you have in your house was like staring him down. And he said, you know, at first I was thinking like, you know, have another drink, you know, that sort of thing. And then he said, I got to tell you, man, you got cold spots all over your house. And I felt like that picture was staring me down. It's like, I just don't, you know, I'm not afraid of a goddamn picture. It's like, you know, but Jan was, and you know, it's, so it's weird. I mean, so it wasn't just me that experienced those things. And the last thing to related to spooky stuff that I have in my life, at least, is I used to go down to New York for the tennis, the U.S. Open all the time. And I stayed with this lovely family out on Long Island. And we were driving one night, and the son, David, asked me if I like spooky stuff, you know, and I said, you like spooky shit? And I was like, yeah, I guess, you know, like, wow, you want to go see a movie or what? And he was like, no, but thinking about movies, and he pulls up on the sidewalk and says, we get to wander through these trees. And then, you know, there was like a fence so that you couldn't really see, like it was abnormally high, like almost like a fake wall that somebody puts up temporarily.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't get in or homeless people can't get in or whatever. So we went through the side through the woods and like a little, it was just a small wooded patch. And then we cut through the fence on the side. And I immediately recognized the house.
Okay.
It's the Amityville Horror House.
Oh, Whoa.
Well, everybody knows the movie, right?
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
So we went in it. And, you know, I'm just kind of looking around and going like, yeah, this is bullshit. There's nothing in here, you know. And then he says, oh, yeah, you want to see the creepy part, though? Let's go down to the red room.
Oh, what?
Which,
Well, famous from the movies,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, Red Room, what are you talking about? He says, yeah, in the basement. So we went down into the basement, and we got outside, and it was just this little, it wasn't a full-size door. It was like, you know, like you'd have to bend way down or crawl in or something. But there was a kind of a door there. And that was like, you know, Red Room. I think when it turned the other way, it said murder or something like that. But
Red Room, murder.
They used it in The Shining. Too, I think. But,
yeah.
But that was Red Rum in the, or something in The Shining. So this was the little Red Room. I don't know. But anyways, there was a bunch of, like, flies going around, which they had in the movie, which was freaky enough. And then... Like I'm like being the big tough guy. I'm not afraid of this, and I'm ready to crawl into that thing. And all of a sudden, I hear something move. And I'll tell you, I was in that car with the doors locked before that other guy got out of the house.
Oh wow!
It might have just been some like homeless dude that found his way in there to sleep. But you know what? I wasn't taking no chances. I was gone, dude.
Yeah, right?
and I've never been back, and they've knocked it down since. But
oh, wow. Yeah. That's pretty incredible.
But that was, yeah, so well, that's about the only
true story, Kev. They said that was a true story.
Well, that's what I've heard. It's because of Ronnie DeFeo murdered his family or something in that house.
And I've heard the opposite as well. I've heard people or someone try to disprove it. This guy who investigates many things, does all his research.
Yeah, I saw that on TV or something.
Yeah,
that was trying to bust it like Houdini used to do with the mediums and stuff back in the day.
Yeah.
Trying to prove all that stuff is fake.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I can't say one way or the next. I can say that it was a creepy experience.
Yeah, sure.
And to be honest, I was a little nervous the whole time I was in there, but I was trying to be all, you know, young guy, being all bravado and, you know,
yeah.
I'm not afraid of this and blah, blah. But as soon, but I'll tell you, man, as soon as that noise happened, I was gone. It's like, I don't even remember. It was like the Star Trek transporter got turned on. I don't even remember going up the steps and leaving the house and going to the car. I just remember being in that room, being in the car, but the doors were
yeah.
Oh, it's funny how that happens. Wow, we've only got 2 minutes left for the show, boys.
Wow,
that's
we
crazy.
Picked up a good subject, huh?
I know. It's been so much fun.
Yeah,
that was fast.
I know.
Well,
since we missed Andy. I bet he would have some good stuff.
Bless him.
Well, Kevin, since we have 2 minutes, let's talk about what's going on with you, man. You know.
Well, I've been I think I talked to you
about this
before. I was trying to before we start the re-release and, you know, the publicity factor or whatever, or the new promotional thing for the record, I was trying to deal with this company called The Orchard, which is owned by Sony Music.
Yes.
But for some reason or other, there's no way to get through to them. And I've tried every office number we could find, except the London number. And I have not been able to get through to them. And then on LinkedIn, I tagged a bunch of people, and this one lady who was running the Nashville office made me her friend. So I thought, oh, this is cool. I'll get in touch with her. And I wrote her like 2 weeks ago, and I sent her the song so she could hear it, and I sent her the charts that showed that I was at number one on both the national and indie charts, and the, you know, pictures of the award that I won and everything else. And she's never responded.
Oh.
And I just don't, you know, and my guys who, you know, who are behind me as far as like financially for the records and stuff, making the records, are like, you can't wait anymore. It's like, you know, just pick a different distributor. So I looked, I got in touch with one that was owned by Universal Music. That was, you know, an online distributor that you could go on, and then they would put you on Universal if they you know, if they thought your song was good enough or whatever. So I thought I'd maybe go with them. And then I was waiting like one, I forget why I waited a day. And when I went to do it, they had set, just in that one day, had put up a thing that said,